Hey, y'all, if you enjoy watching your podcast, which seems kind of weird, watching your podcast, but some people really enjoy that. So we have a YouTube channel. You can find it at Heather Parady, P-A-R-A-D-Y. It's also linked up in the show notes. You can hit subscribe. And several of these interviews are actually in person, so you can watch that. Again, that is at Heather Parady on YouTube.
Y'all, this is one of the craziest social media accounts that I follow. Stunts, cars, helicopters. But these videos are what did me in.
Go in and get me a Diet Coke while I'm pumping gas, please. Go in and get me a Diet Coke.
What?
Go in and get me a Diet Coke while I'm pumping gas.
Bro, you bugging, bro.
Yes, go
Can
get
I
me.
Get something?
I guess. One thing.
Oh, that's what I'm...
No,
let's go.
One thing.
You know the vibes, bro.
I'm not sure I have seen anyone who has as much fun as this dude and his awesome family. The cool thing about this show is that you get to reach out to people who you're curious about and find out who they really are. In this conversation with Whiskey Biz, you're going to hear the guy behind the skits, his unconventional approach to content, and why we should never lose sight of having a really good time.
It will change overnight if you do that.
That's, what was on that short list besides showing yourself?
All right, let me hold on.
Y'all lean in.
This is probably one of my most powerful ones that's underrated. I always am working on this stuff, always. Mm-hmm. And it comes to light on your phone one day. It looks, you know what I mean? It looks like you have no idea how long I've been putting it in. This shit is not luck.
Bryce, thanks for joining us today.
Heck yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Are you wanting to be a comedian? Can we just start there? Because I assumed you were. Like, where's this stuff coming from?
No, dude. All I want to do is make people smile. I don't want to work a real job ever anymore. And I want to make people smile. That's my two goals. I don't really want to be a comedian or anything. I just like to have some fun. You know, I like to kind of tell stories my way, and I see things that are funny and then just make them bigger, you know, exaggerate them a little bit, I guess.
I'm going to predict that this is going to be something in your future. This is going to grow and develop. Were you kind of shocked when the whole teenager thing like popped off? Like, how have you handled that?
The teenager thing has definitely changed things. Some of my earlier like side-by-side like kind of stunt videos really kind of put me on, but yeah, I never expected that. And what's really wild is I did a teenager one a long time ago. It's probably been 2 or 3 years ago, early on in my TikTok stuff. I did a teenager goes to Sky Zone or trampoline park or something like that.
Okay.
And it did really well back then. And here's another thing. So I actually don't have a teenager.
I was going to say you have a little daughter, like a little
Yeah,
girl.
I have a 6-year-old monster. Yeah, her name's Rory. She's my whole world. But the teenager character is based off of a friend's son. His name's Cash. Great kid. But he just says so much of the most annoying, ridiculous things. I can't keep my shit together most time, like talking to him, you know? But anyways, Cash, he'll text me and stuff, the stuff I need to say. But yeah, I did the original years ago teenager video with Cash. He was at the trampoline park with me, which was wild. Like, I saw how he acted. Oh yeah, it's still on there.
I gotta scroll up on that.
Yeah, I mean, spoiler, but we're gonna redo it because back then I didn't do I didn't have the bangs and the Bass Pro hat and like 30 bracelets on, you know, all the stupid crap they do. I wasn't doing all that. I just did it on the fly. It was just me and him. I said, hey, record me. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to act like you. You act like an idiot in here. And that's what I did. I just acted exactly like he did.
Oh, man. It's so good. We'll link up everything in the show notes. But then, like I mentioned, I dug in and found out that you are a business owner and you own, I want to say three. Is it three businesses?
Yeah. So I was a full-time millwright for 15 years. And I was
a
in
what?
The process.
A mill what?
A millwright. So it's basically kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none. I'm a certified crane operator. I'm a NCC, what is it? NCCCO, I believe it's called. National, regardless. Certified rigger, crane operator. I can operate pretty much anything with wheels on a construction site. But I was in the process of becoming partial owner of that company whenever I ended up leaving. But yeah, I'm 33% owner in a machine shop with my two brothers. I still own the LLC, but I just recently sold my party bus company. I owned a party bus company.
Oh, you did sell it.
Yeah, so we sold it. It's actually still in my family. I sold it to my uncle. he was helping me because my social media stuff was taking off and I couldn't keep up with everything. And he had been running it for me basically for about a year. And I just called him one day and I said, hey man, I'm going to end up selling the company. I just can't keep up with it. And he was like, just give me a little bit of time, I'll buy it. So he ended up buying it from me. Works out awesome because I can still use the buses. It still has whiskey business on it. It's great. It was a really smooth transition. So pretty much right now I have going full time is the social media stuff, you know, all the merch and the machine shop. Those are the two that I'm still a part of. I do have a promotions company and a real estate company as well. Where
I got
a lot of stuff going on, man. I'm really big in physical assets that I can touch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about crypto. I don't know about stocks. I don't know. I'm working with my hands. You know, if I can build it, if I can touch it, I can make it worth money. I know that it's worth something. I can hold on to it. So I like real estate and investing in companies, you know, like buying a party bus, for example. I know if I buy that thing for $20,000 or $30,000, I can make, you know, $2,000 a week off of it just by renting it out and stuff. So I like physical assets.
Where do you think that came from? Were you raised around that world or what?
It 100% came from my dad. Yeah. So my dad was a union electrician. My parents split when I was about 13, 14 years old. My mom was a teacher. She kept pursuing that. She teacher, principal, you know, worked her way up and retired now. But my dad, he always had a hustle going, and it was always blue collar related. While he was a union electrician, he was doing HVAC at night. He had a snow plow that he put on front of his truck. I remember riding all the time with him plowing snow. The dude just always had that grind, that work ethic, you know, and it's in all of my family. My uncles are the same way. My grandpa, you know, he's older generation, so there wasn't so much of like six sources of income then. He had one or two, you know. He was a truck driver. He drove a cement truck and then farmed, you know, on the side. So it really was something I was born into, you know.
I love the work ethic piece to it. My dad was blue collar too. He, my entire life, installed security alarms for businesses and so forth. And he was the hardest working man I've ever met in my entire life. And to this day, if everybody's laying around, something needs to get done, he gets up and does it, just does it. And this morning I was listening to Ed Milet. I don't know if you know him, a podcaster, but they were talking about the capacity to hold so much stuff on your plate as a business owner, and how his philosophy, Ed Milet's philosophy, is that being able to hold a lot of stuff on your plate actually fuels and adds to your capacity to be a husband and a father and a friend, because you're used to weight, you're used to carrying stuff. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective. And I know you love the hell out of your family. Your wife's involved in your business too. How are you able to hold everything on your plate and give some to them too at the end of the day?
Well, it's not always easy. It really isn't. I would be lying if I said it was. It is a struggle. It's one that we still battle. There's nothing else I'd rather do. You know, anytime my wife ever asked me, like what we did on my birthday, on my last birthday, we went to our lake house. We got these little jars of like this strawberry moonshine that you get at like the gas station, and sat on our dock and just drank those. And my daughter, she played and colored and, you know, sat right there. That's a perfect day for me to do nothing.
Really?
You know, like just to be with them and talk with them and hang out with them. You know, that's...
But as a business owner, isn't it your mind just kind of going? I mean, how do you turn that off?
It does. And I think it never turns off. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I had a girl come up to me at this last event and was asking me kind of how I come up with the ideas on the videos and stuff. And I pulled my phone out and I have a running notes that I just never quit adding to. And that's, the mind keeps running. I just key it in my notes, and whenever it's time to go again, I'm ready. You know, I've got ideas and a plan and stuff like that, you know, so it never shuts off. But that's like family time. Like, that's all I want to do. Like, if I could do one thing the rest of my life, it would just be hang out with him. That's it.
How did you meet your wife?
We met, it's been about 14, almost 15 years ago.
You were young then, because you're only 30, aren't you? Or 31 or something?
I'm 33, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You met her when you were a kid.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. So she went to school about 15, 20 minutes away from me, and she was a basketball player, and they came to our school. I wasn't. I was kind of like punk. I raced motocross, you know. I wasn't a team sport person, you know, at all.
Yeah.
And I watched her play basketball, and I thought, I thought, you know, I'm like, dang, I drink her bathwater. You know, I was into her. And so anyway, she was leaving the game and I was like, I'm gonna go talk to her. Well, I walk up and of course she's got her boyfriend with her and I'm like, oh, shit. You know, so I bitched out and I didn't say anything. Well, I added her on Facebook and it was probably, I don't know, maybe a year later or something like that. We'd kind of DM'd back and forth a couple times, nothing really awesome to talk about or anything, just kind of small talk. And then one night she was actually in my town at a party and texted me and was like, I don't know, wasn't having a good time or whatever, and said, hey, are you in town? I'm like, yeah. She's, do you know where this is? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, can you come pick me up? Let's hang out. I'm like, all right, bet.
Dang.
Yeah. So, and ever since then we've been together. Yeah, I was living in a single wide trailer back then. She was working at Red Lobster going to Mizzou. She was waitress. And yeah, she ended up transferring schools to be closer to me and we've been together ever since.
Love it. Yeah. And what's both of your visions from here? I mean, I know the social thing's kind of, I know you've been doing it for a while, but kind of taking it off and taking in probably a little bit of a new direction with some of the comedy stuff and everything. Has your vision shifted and changed, or how do y'all roll with vision with so many moving parts?
You know, we don't really have a clear vision other than just like, we just want to have fun and every day. That's it. Like, we work together right now. She's sitting 10 feet away from me doing her thing with the merch, you know, working on orders and stuff. That's all we want to do. Work together, be happy, like, whatever makes us happy. That's what we want to do. And it's, as far as the comedy stuff goes, it's a part of me, right? The side by side stuff is a part of me. My business, like entrepreneur stuff, that's a part of me. I'm fully aware that if I was to go and just really niche my channels, I could probably blow them up a lot bigger, a lot faster. But that's not really who I am, you know? I'm not just a comedian every single day. Some days I'm a builder, some days I'm cracking jokes, whatever. So I like just being me, you know, doing a little bit of everything.
So, okay, Bryce, listen. I respect the hell out of that. I think that's really cool mentality, and it sounds super, like, that sounds sexy. You know what I mean? Like, just do you, have fun, enjoy your life. But I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I want to be that way so bad because I love having fun. I love my family, et cetera, et cetera. There's something inside of me. It's so hard not to get into this weird grind kind of mode of dissatisfaction, I think would be a great word. And some of that's good because you think when you're dissatisfied, it pushes you towards something. But then it also, too, can rob you from sitting on your front porch with the strawberry whiskey with your daughter playing. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I know a lot of people listen to this show. We're driven. We're driven for something more because a lot of us didn't grow up with a lot. And so we're wanting to improve it. Is this something that just we're luck, you know, you got lucky and this is your philosophy on life? Or has there been a way for you to kind of cultivate that? Any tips you have there? Give us the the meaning of life, dude. Come on. 10:30 a.m.
Damn, man. That's a tough one there. Holy shit. That's tough.
Like, do you recognize that in yourself at all? That kind of that dissatisfaction of like, I gotta grow, I gotta get this bigger, or no?
I do recognize that it's, you know, like my teenager would say, I'm built different, kind of, you know, like there is something different about me, but I don't know how I got it or where it came from or how it keeps, that fire keeps burning. You know, I can't really explain that. It just happens. It's just who I am. I really don't know. I do know that just me seeing what my family did, you know, as a kid has probably everything to do with it. You know, imagine it would be something
what your family did.
like just being hard workers, you know, just sun up, sun down. That's how they worked. You know, I remember sitting at my grandma's house and, you know, my uncles were there, my dad, my grandpa, everybody just sweaty, nasty eating, you know, at the table. Yeah. You know, that's what I remember seeing. I remember seeing my dad come home just super dirty, covered in grease and stuff, and then get on the lawnmower and mow all night long until it was dark, you know, and then being mad that, like, man, I didn't get it all done. It's going to look like crap. And, you know, like, just I remember seeing that, and I imagine it would be like LeBron James kids playing basketball because that's what they saw their dad do. You know, they saw him in the gym all the time. So, of course, they're going to be basketball players, you know. It's the same kind of concept, I guess, in my eyes. I can't really explain exactly how it happened. That's just kind of my guess.
Do you see that in your daughter now? Is she kind of a get dirty worker girl?
So it's crazy. She's the exact opposite of me.
I was just thinking that the secret is to grow up in that, and now you're saying no.
She is the so But she's girly, girly, man. She loves dance. She loves art. You know, she likes music. She loves all that type of, like, artsy stuff, which I do have that side of me, right? Like, all of our merch and stuff, like, we design, me and my wife, like, there's definitely an art side of a lot of the stuff I've built, you know, as far as roll cages and even the concept of the videos. You know, there's an artistic side to all of it. So she definitely has that part of me. But as far as, like, that grind, she doesn't really have yet. You know, she might play in the dirt every so often, or we got her a side-by-side last week. And I mean, she loves that thing. So maybe that's going to start bringing it out in her. I'm not sure. But she's definitely girly, you know?
Yeah. How do you, I'm just curious, from one parent to another, one of the things we wrestle with a lot is figuring out how to nurture the God-given gift and personality and whatever they have and just celebrating it. But also, too, like, figuring out how do you, I don't know, like, implant wisdom and kind of guide and steer it, man, because, like, there's one element where it's like, I want to honor who you are, but there's this other element. It's like, is that who you are? Or are you just crazy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's definitely a struggle we deal with literally every day. You know, the only thing I do is I think of the stuff where I screwed up as a kid, you know, and try and, oh yeah, you know what? If she doesn't want to do that, or she does want to do this, man, let her find out on her own, you know, kind of. But if it's something that's a little bit more major, you know, like right now, you know, like I said, she doesn't want to play any sports with a ball. That's me too. I don't like any sports with a ball. You know, I love UFC. I love motocross, anything racing, anything with an engine. I love that stuff. She's, you know, she's kind of like, she wants to do all the dance stuff. She doesn't want to do soccer or softball or any of that. But I'm like, you know, if I can, let me persuade you just a little bit, because you might like it next year, the year after, you know, and you, the little bit of the experience will really help you out, you know. So, I mean, I push her a little bit, but for the most part, I let it go, unless it's something, you know, kind of serious where it's like, hey, don't do that. You're going to, you know, end up with a concussion or something.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, just being able to see her parents be able to work together and build things and have fun, like you said, is just like the greatest gift that you can give her. And switching gears in our last couple minutes together, I told you before, the intention of this show is to really just cultivate a community of people going against the grain and saying, hey, it's completely cool if you don't look, act, speak, roll the way that the rest of the people in your industry do. You have to be yourself and show up fully as that, because that's what people resonate with. And I think you're an awesome example of that. I don't know anything about your world with all the cars and all that stuff, dude, but like, your content's so honest that I find myself like watching it even if I don't fully understand that world, just because I know you're showing up as you, and it's just magnetic. A lot of folks, man, whether it's the way we grew up or whatever, our personality, it's a little bit harder getting comfortable in your skin to show up that way and be confident in it. So if you have any words of wisdom for folks listening who are like, man, I really want to lean into my thing, but whether it's pressure from family or my industry or whatever, I just don't feel comfortable doing that yet. I wish I could do it the way Bryce does it. What would you say to them?
So some of my friends that I've helped grow their channels, and I'm going to talk about it like as far as like growing a social media platform.
Sure.
And I would say it applies to like business or anything really. You have to figure that part out as far as like being yourself and being comfortable, because like that's at the end of the day, that's all that you have. Like that's the only thing that you have that separates you from everybody else.
Preach.
For example, the reason like if I go to an event, let's say I go to a car show or a side-by-side event or whatever, whenever I post my video, it's going to get more traction than 99% of the other people that go there. And it's because I have the camera flipped towards me. I'm in there. It's my personality injected into it. It has my twist on it, literally, as far as me, who I am. That is the one thing. You have you, and I have my personality. You can't not have your personality in it, expect people to fall in love with you and your channel and your brand. You know, they might like that one video. It might pop off one time. You know, your kid says something funny, or I don't know, whatever. You know, those viral clips that go off that nobody even knows who posted it. You might be able to get something like that. But the only way that you retain attention, you grow, and you turn your brand into something is you have to inject yourself into it. That's priority number one. You have to put the camera on you. You have to, and to get that confidence is not easy. I can't tell you whenever I started out, and even still, I've got so much shit in the drafts or so much stuff on my phone that I've never posted just because I'm like, you know, I don't know that it's comes across the way I want it to come across. Somebody might think about it like this or like that, you know, and the people that I've worked with to help grow their channels or their brand, it will change overnight if you do that. I've got it's a much smaller creator, but a friend of mine, he has not even broke 1,000 views on TikTok, okay, on one video. And I gave him a very short list of things to do in his videos. And since he's been posting, since that day, he hasn't been under 1,000. So like we're in one day, you know, like let's say he walks around his car with a cool song or check out my car, man, and show them you. Say something that you think's funny about it. Say something that you like about it. Inject that in there. Somebody relates and you grow. That's all there is to it. Well, it's not all there is to it, but that's a big part of it. If you're not doing that, start doing that immediately. Talk to yourself in the shower. Record yourself talking. Try and carry on a conversation, you know, with yourself. Do whatever weak link you have. You know what it is. Focus on it. It's not easy. Work on it.
What was on that short list besides showing yourself? Y'all lean in.
So first of all, you want to post when your audience looks at their phones the most, okay? So mine would be, I would have something this time of year, Monday evenings and nights, Friday evenings, not Friday night, just Friday evenings, Sunday evenings and nights, you know, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. You look at like my audience would be like blue collar boys and girls is how I would look at them. Yeah. They're working, they're normal, you know, I don't know, 5 to 5, 5, 6, you know, 6 to 3, whatever. Don't be posting during that time. They're not going to see it. That's one of the big things there.
But does it matter, like, if they can see it later? Like, or are you trying to get in their feed where it pops up?
You want to hit their, yeah, so you want to hit their feed when most of your audience is watching. The reason is just for the algorithm. Like, if the video takes off, like, quicker, it's going to be pushed better. Definitely watch it later. But those people, they're coming to it regardless. If they're going to watch it later, they're coming to it regardless. You want to hit those people that maybe they're your follower, but they don't type in, you know, whiskey biz every day into the search bar.
So that first push is really important.
Super important. At one point, it was the first 30 minutes on TikTok specifically where they kind of judged the engagement on it. I don't know what it is now, but I still use that like kind of rule of thumb when I'm posting. If you are going to go during the day, like for me personally, I would go like at lunchtime because like noon, 1 o'clock, that's when, you know, blue collar guys and girls are taking lunch. But you want to hit a view is technically 6 seconds long. So give them all you got in the first 6 seconds. If you're starting to grow your channel, grab them. Don't be one of those. I don't recommend being one of those obnoxious, like, you know, people. Those people annoy me. Like they do. But I try to use the word you. Try to use something that grabs them. Get their attention. You are not going to believe this. Have you seen this? Look, like I just did one. It didn't do really well, but one I posted yesterday. I'm lucky to be alive. You know, put that on there. Like, put something on there that they're going to look at and go, oh, shit. And then you catch them for 6 seconds. That's a view. 3 to 5 hashtags, no more, no less. Tag few people in the post. Definitely don't tag bigger creators. It looks like you're trying to latch on to them. Right. Don't do that. Right. Post with accounts that are about the size of you, under 100K, stuff like that. I mean, I've got lots of things like that. Try to avoid cussing, avoid dangerous stuff. One of the biggest things, so this is one thing, this is probably one of my most powerful ones that's underrated. Comment something nice, funny, or unique. If you can do all of them, do it on videos that you actually like of creators that are similar to you. If they're not similar to you,
it's just so good.
Something that you like to watch. There's a reason that you like them. For me, I like Mr. Beast. I don't like all of his like antics and stuff. One of my favorite YouTubers is Reckless Ben. I would comment like on Reckless Ben videos, something funny, something unique, something whatever, and that would be good for me. You know what I mean? People are going to go, I like that. Like, I love Reckless Ben. I like this guy because he commented something on there that's unique, and that will bring traction to your account as well. So
where did you learn that from? That's so interesting.
After my, you know, social media stuff kind of took off, I obsess over things. It's kind of how I got here, to be honest, and how I got really anywhere with business or anything. I when I get into something, I really obsess over it and I don't quit until I'm there. Whether it's I wanted a party bus company, for example. Everybody I talked to about absolutely no way is anybody going to pay $120 an hour, $150 an hour to ride on a bus. I'm like, not a normal bus, but the one that I'm going to build, they will, you know? So I built it. Guess what? I ended up building a bigger one later that people were paying me $220 an hour to ride on because the 150 was no problem. And then I had two of those. I had a limo and I had the 220 an hour bus making, I don't know, we could make $8,000 on a weekend, no problem.
Wow.
So it's just like I don't know. I get on these little tangents and stuff, but I obsess over something, I bring it to life, and then just put salt in the wound and grind it for all it's worth, and then I move to the next thing, kind of.
So you, when you were studying the growing your social and your channel and all that, you came across this concept and idea, and I really like it. There's kind of a dual thing there. I know there's a strategy behind it, but I think there's also too a energy you're putting out in the world when you take time out of your day to acknowledge somebody else and like pour into other creators. So I think there's kind of that element too to it. But the tactical side to it, like, is that just like a trial and error thing? Like, that's, I haven't heard anyone say that. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So there is a reason for it. I guess where I was going with that, like, since my social media and stuff's kind of taken off, other creators have reached out to me and I talk with them and we help each other. And, you know, I've noticed whenever I do this and I notice whenever I do that. And so we just really kind of share like our, not even really secrets, but just the information we've learned, you know, like just taking notes on what videos did what and why and why we think they did that. And we just share them around. One other thing too, that I wanted to add was, it says on here, lastly, but obviously the most important is make good shit. That's just all there is to it. You have to, you know, like it wears me out when people, I can't get my account to grow, blah, 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 blah. And then you look at it and it was like, because there was absolutely zero effort into that video. Zero.
Yeah.
I spend months on some of mine, you know, my loop video. 3 months is what it took to put that together. You know, and I'm always, and that's the thing that people don't quite get. I always am working on this stuff. Always. Mm-hmm. And it comes to light on your phone one day. It looks, you know what I mean? It looks like you have no idea how long I've been putting it in. This shit is not luck. It is a matter of a lot of hard work. And then these other little tips and stuff, that's just to help my odds, you know?
Yeah. Dude, so, you know, we're wrapping up right here, but the consistency piece, there's another friction point. I'm a huge Gary Vee fan. Like, I love Gary. I call him Uncle G. Yep. Like, love the man. But you know the whole concept, and it's true, of just like outwork, put more effort in, like production. But as I've been leveling up my content and trying to become a better storyteller and all that stuff, like, it's getting longer, and your girl don't got a team, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the editor, I'm the girl on the camera, I'm everything. So it's getting longer how long things take. And so there's this tension between, you know, putting out content versus also making good shit, like you said, and making sure that it's valuable. How do you wrestle with that? Like, if one has to give, whether it's putting something out or sacrificing the quality, which one do you make the trade on?
I have to go with quality. I completely understand, and I agree with what Gary's talking about. 100% kind of goes into the niche thing. I know that if I post teenage videos every single day, every other day, they'd probably all break a million or 2 or 3 million. I think my lowest one's like 2.5 million. Like, they would. There's no question. Yep. But I will sacrifice that to do. The whole reason I'm doing this is because I'm having fun with it and because I like it. I understand that the numbers could grow if I did that. And the numbers would probably grow if I just threw something up every single day. But what I like to see, what some of my most favorite creators that I watch, I'll wait a month for a banger. You know what I mean? And so I try to look at it the same way with my people. I try to post 3 times a week, and I always have at least one, I mean, banger where I've invested a lot of money into, always going in the background. So sometimes I'll leak a little hints and stuff, or sometimes I don't. Like the loop, I didn't show it to anybody. I have some subscribers that on my TikTok Live.
You mean
where
the car's going like this?
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one, I completely kept it secret other than about 300 of my subscribers. And other than that, kept it a secret and then launched it, you know? So, but in between, I'm doing all my other, like, smaller stuff, you know? Stuff that I can put together in a day or two or whatever. Yeah.
So that's what you mean by the money going in, is the cost it takes to build something like that and to do it.
Yeah, like that loop video, there's probably, not including the side-by-side, there's probably $30,000 in that video. And then the side-by-side alone is another 20.
Y'all, I got to level the hell up. I don't spend no money on my reel. That's insane.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what I got from this conversation with you. I could talk to you for a lot longer, but I want to honor the time I asked you for. I heard you say over and over and over again, and it's so refreshing to freaking enjoy, have fun, breathe life into it. Your content, your work, like what else are we doing here if we're not enjoying it? And again, that's easier said than done, but it's a very profound thing to wrap our heads around and remind ourselves of. So I have a final question that I ask all my guests, but before then, where can people connect with you online and what would you like to direct them to?
Anything Whiskey Biz. I've pretty much got all the names on Instagram. I does have three Z's. I can't, for whatever reason, they won't sell me the original Whiskey Biz name. WhiskeyBizSwag.com is our website with all of our merch. And yeah, that's, I mean, we're Whiskey Biz on everything. And my wife is Boss Whiskey Biz on everything. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I love it, dude. I love it. I think you're freaking hilarious. You're bringing a lot of joy into this household. So thanks for coming on. Very last question. There's a quote written on my wall that says, the things that made you weird as a kid make you great today. So if we're looking back at baby Bross running around in this world with dad working real hard, your mom being a teacher, living the life, if that you could identify something really weird about that little boy back then that you now know makes you great today, what is it?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I don't know. I know I definitely did a lot of weird stuff. I was definitely, you know, that little kid running around with no shoes on outside, you know, playing, fishing, riding rollerblades and bicycles. That was probably, I did a lot of like little daredevil, little stunt stuff, you know, as a kid. Building little makeshift ramps and jumping them and crashing them. That's why my teeth are the way they are, is because when I was a kid, I knocked out my front teeth, and you know, we didn't have a ton of money when I was a kid, so they did the best they could to kind of fix them. And anyways, when I finally got a little bit of money, I was like, I'm gonna fix these bad boys right. So yeah. I went and got my veneers and stuff done. But I would say, yeah, just being a little daredevil, man. Like I was a little wild child.
Love it, love it. Bryce, thanks for coming on today. This is awesome.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me.